You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, everyone. I am Martina Cunha, and you're listening to Backstage Talk. Welcome back to another episode of Backstage Talk. Today, I have the privilege of interviewing a real-life Prince Charming, but he's an evil Prince Charming. All the way from Disney's Frozen, I have here with me Jake Smith. Hey, Jake, how are you?
Good, man. Happy to be here.
I'll let you introduce yourself a bit before entering all these crazy questions about your journey I have for today.
Sure. So my name's Jake David Smith. I was born in Richmond, Virginia. I grew up there, went to college in Elon, North Carolina. And then right after graduating college, I had the privilege of joining the Broadway cast of Frozen, in an ensemble track covering the role of Hans. And then throughout the next year before, the pandemic hit, I got the opportunity to perform over 300 performances of Frozen. I think 15 or so odd performances as Hans, and it was just a crazy, crazy whirlwind. And I'm super grateful for all of the crazy firsts that it gave me. And we're going to get into all of that soon enough. So that's me.
You are 23 at the moment, right?
Yes.
So you're 23 and you've already been on Broadway. So that is amazing. How did you start in theater?
I sang all the time as a little kid, and my parents really didn't know like whether I was good or not or anything. And we went to this like humongous Methodist church that had like a big, you know, like children's choir where you all wore like white polo shirts and like you stood and you sang like a nursery rhyme in front of the congregation or whatever. And my parents' friends are like nudging them like, Jake's gonna sing a solo. And they're like, what? Like, what are you talking about? And they look up and somebody's handing the microphone to me, like down the line of kids, like singing. And I start singing and they're like, holy crap. Like, that's our kid.
This kid can sing.
He can sing. And everybody's looking at them like, wow, okay. Like, that's not insufferable as far as youth choirs go. And so from that point on, my mom, you know, tried to make me take piano lessons. I had no interest. I wanted to be a rock star. I wanted to play guitar. And I mean, all the while I grew up for my first 15 years of life, basically thinking I was going to go, to like a state school and play soccer and like play in the MLS. Like I did not grow up, you know, dreaming of being on Broadway. But I grew up playing guitar and ukulele and singing and even writing terrible songs on my own. And performing them in middle school talent shows to haunt me for the rest of my life. And then basically, like, my mom, like, signed me up for theater classes and this, like, overnight theater camp because my middle school choir did a musical every year. And it was, like, whether you want to do it or not, like, the choir does it and you are a member of that cast. And I was cast as, like, the lead in like a junior version of some random musical, which was like, it was like, you know, a one act, like 90 minute thing or not even. And so she was like, all right, well, let's see. And I did that camp. I did like a sleepaway overnight camp. And like, I was like, oh my God, all these people are so nice. Like, this is such a cool community of people. Like, I'm not being bullied at all. Like I am at soccer practice. I should do this more. And I had a guy convince me to do a local musical at that camp. And I did it. And I think I was 15 when I did it. And I never looked back. I just like freaking dove right in and did like 3 or 4 different musicals a year. I directed plays. I went to more summer camps. I was in show choir, barbershop quartet, chamber choir, the musical, the drama club. Outside of school, like I did other community organizations doing theater. And because I started at 15 and I was made aware that like you can major in this in college. And I was like, oh, well, like I'm crazy behind, and basically just like made up for 15 years of not knowing like that this was my passion in 4 years, and was doing like 4 musicals a year. Sometimes 3. I was in 3 musicals at the same time, and it was my mom looked at me and she was like, we're never doing this again. This is crazy. And I was like, that's fine. but it was like an insane whirlwind of like, hey, what's up? I'm the new guy. Like, I don't know anything. I literally couldn't sing you a single show tune. And then like, 2 years later, I was like directing a play, because I was just like, just dove right in and was like, this is my everything. So that's sort of like beginning of theater to beginning of college, my theater experience.
And what was the most memorable musical you did since you were 15?
Oh,
like, I mean, besides Frozen, besides pre-college.
I mean, it has to be either Little Shop of Horrors or Oklahoma, where my best friend from like 4 years old, Ben, we'll call him, well, that's his name, so we'll call him Ben. And Ben and I literally like lived down the street from each other, grew up. We did all of the choirs together, and we did all of the Scholastic, like all of the like the school musicals and plays and choirs together. And our junior year, we got to be Seymour and Mushnick in Little Shop of Horrors. I was the tallest Seymour that should never go on stage again. And then he was Mushnick. And then senior year, we were Curly and Judd. And like getting to like create and like play around on stage and like absolutely weave in inside jokes and like everything like with your best friend of like 10 years on stage is like an unforgettable experience, especially when things go wrong. We had a sound effect for a gun go off in Oklahoma at completely the wrong time, and then like I barely held it together, and then we did the scene and he brought it back in with a joke. It was like, blah, 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 no misfires. And I just completely collapsed laughing on stage in front of like 400 people who were all there. And everyone in the audience knew that Ben and I were best friends and that he was messing with me. And like they all erupted in like laughter and cheers to sort of like cheer Ben and I on, because it was our last show of our senior year, of our last musical at our high school. And it was just like, it was like a movie moment. It was like super duper memorable and something that I am frequently telling and retelling is that story of that missed gunshot sound cue and all of the hilarity that ensued.
That is awesome. I mean, those are the best memories.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about Elon, because since I was very young, I looked for musical theater programs in the United States. And Elon was, and still is, one of the best in the whole country.
Yeah.
So let's dive into your experience at Elon.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know, or rather, I didn't bother to do a lot of research on schools, because like basically the most talented dude I know from Richmond went to Elon. And I was like, well, if he's going to Elon, then I'm going to Elon. So that's that. And I mean, I auditioned at like Pace and NYU and some other places, some other great programs. But I don't know why I had just like made it up in my mind. And I was like, I will either go to Elon or take a gap year and then try to go to Elon the next year. Like I was obsessed with the school because it was this like weird, like almost conservatory style training school, like in the middle of nowhere in the South. It was like very similar to the like sort of vibe of my hometown of Richmond, where like it was like very similar weather and like, you know, nature. And I knew I was gonna feel like super comfortable there in all other ways other than theater. And so I was like, I want to like make my whole world like I was still behind. Like I didn't go to a performing arts high school. And though I did a lot of theater in high school, like I didn't learn a lot about the art form itself. Like I didn't know how to pick an audition song that was in the correct style of the show you're auditioning for. Like I was singing like Love Never Dies for like Tarzan. Like there's no reason, but I was 6 foot and I could sing. So my community theater was like, sure, whatever, like give him a call back. But I chose to go to Elon because I knew that if I went to school in New York that I would get lost and like preoccupied with things outside of my training. And so I went to Elon so that I could like continue my pattern of diving in head first and just like absolutely consuming all of the information that I could. And I even chose like not to minor or double major or do anything like that because I was just like, I feel like I'm so behind like technique wise that I need to like make my entire focus, you know, theater history, music theory, music theater literature, and all of this stuff so that I can like come out of this process like with like, you know, my head on my shoulders and not feel like when I'm in New York and I'm talking to somebody behind the table that I'm talking out of my butt. Like I feel like I need to know, you know, my world that I'm about to enter. And Elon was a great place for that, man. I got some really, really good training. They have great connections. And the student body there really, really works together. So I had like upperclassmen helping me find summer stock jobs where they were like, hey, like, have you signed up for this conference yet? Have you signed up for this audition yet? Like, this audition's coming to school. Like, you should really look into them. Their season is really good for you. And I had people helping me out. And there's like there's a real sense of family and community there. But yeah, I mean, just like any musical theater audition at any college, when I was a senior in high school, I auditioned, sang a couple songs, a couple super duper basic musical theater songs because I didn't know any better, and they worked because I'm a super duper basic type, you know. And it's a weird universe thing, man. It all worked out in my favor, and I'm so blessed and fortunate that, you know, the one of the three musical theater colleges that I auditioned for accepted me. And I just worked my tail off when I got there so that, you know, by the time showcase senior year came around, I had some options and I had some agencies to meet with and some auditions with different casting companies to go to. And it all led to the right spot, to Frozen. So it was super cool to see that, like, I definitely made the right choice. It's hard to argue with the results. And, you know, 1 year after graduation, I was cast as the lead in Between the Lines off Broadway, which I would be originating a role in a brand new musical in New York City, which is exactly what I told my agents that I wanted to be doing before I signed with them. You know, I sat down and I was like, this is what I'm really passionate about. I really, really, really want to create a character. Like, my dream role is not to be Fiero. My dream role is to like be the first something. I don't really care what it is. I just like want to be a part of that creative process. And like, look, don't get me wrong. I want to be Fiero. Of course, everybody wants to be Fiero. It's an awesome role. Yeah. But, you know, I was really concerned with like making my stamp on the history of musical theater and like being the guy. Because everyone, you know, knows Norbert Leo Butz. because he's the original Fiero, or Aaron DeVate because he's the first Gabe, or, you know, Ryan McCartan, who I got the chance to work with in Frozen, who was JD and Heathers, and like that, he him on that soundtrack is like iconic. I listened to it in high school all the time, and then I got to do a show with him. It was super cool, man. And so Elon rocked as far as just getting an education and getting the right training and challenging me in the right ways and kicking my butt in dance class and kicking my ego to the curb. It was great.
And which was the biggest lesson you've learned at Elon? Like during all your training as a performer?
I would say, I mean, the biggest lesson I learned while in college isn't even necessarily like one I learned because I went to Elon or like from Elon. The biggest lesson I learned in college is just from like doing summer stock theater around the country and seeing all the different types of performers that you run into and work with. And something that I realized my first summer was like, you know, this industry rewards authenticity and being a team player. Like those are two things that no one is ever going to get tired of in any industry, let alone the theater industry. And I really like tried to take that to heart. My summer after my freshman year, I was like, you know, Tony in West Side Story, and I was like staying late and helping build the balcony that I was going to sing on the next day in rehearsal, or, you know, offering to help take out the trash with the stage manager at the end of rehearsal and taking other guys aside and like helping them run choreography or do stuff like that. And just trying to like, not take over the lead, but like lead in situations that called for leadership and, you know, like not shying away from hard work or grunt work and not believing that I was above anything just because I was playing Tony in West Side Story. You know, like I was at a 100-seat house in South Boston, Virginia, in a non-equity theater, making like $150 a week, living in somebody's guest room, like in the town. And like, you know, I just, and every summer I tried to adopt that attitude of like, all right, be the kind of person that they want to rehire, that they say, like, I want to bring Jake back next summer. And, like, that is the biggest lesson. And that's what, you know, I tried to take forward into Frozen and into all my other professional jobs, whether it be New London, New Hampshire, or Wichita, Kansas, or wherever the heck I was in the country. I just tried to, like, have the attitude of, like, okay, like, you know, try to get rehired. You know, work hard. Work smart and, you know, be humble and be the kind of actor that they want to keep bringing back, because that's how you'll pay the bills in the future, man.
I agree. I totally agree with you. And it's awesome that all those things that you did on summers and in college brought you into Broadway. Yeah, and you're where you're at thanks to all that training and those decisions you took mindfully about who you wanted to be as a human being and as a professional. Now I want to dive in totally into Broadway. You just said that the first thing you got when you got to New York was originating a character.
That was the first thing I got, like, after Frozen. I got the job doing Frozen while I was still in school, actually. So I had been doing Elon's casting director showcase series, where we fly like an agent or a casting director to the school. And then as a senior class, we dance and sing and act for them. And then like have a meal with them and sit down and ask them a bunch of questions about New York, about the industry, about their lives, to get them to know, get to know them as people, which is kind of backwards. Like a lot of colleges like come to New York and put their senior class like on a stage or in a studio somewhere and have them perform for a bunch of people. We tried as Elon, like we, that's the we I'm talking about, tried to like bring people and get a lot more individual attention. So as opposed to being like the guy who sang "The Lady Must Be Mad" in a white t-shirt on Tuesday, I was Jake, who asked him what his favorite hobby was, or like what his favorite bar was in Hell's Kitchen at the meal after the audition. You know, like I got to make a personal connection with all of these people, which is how I ended up you know, meeting my agent and signing with them before we even really graduated, which is not unheard of at Elon. We work hard to forge connections with different agencies and agents so that when they come down, basically after spring break of your senior year, you're theoretically, like, it's not a hard and fast rule, but like you're not supposed to sign with anybody before that. And then on spring break hits, and you go visit and sit down with these people and you get to talk to them, you can sign with an agent. And so after spring break, I signed with CGF and I love those guys to death. They're the bomb. And they worked their tail off for me and they, you know, used the connections that I made at Elon with different casting offices to create new connections and things like that. So the casting director for Frozen was one of the people that Elon flew down. And I auditioned for her for, like, you know, a different project altogether after that and did really well for myself. I didn't end up getting the job, obviously, but I put up a really good fight and I handled myself really well for a 22-year-old. I think I was even 21 at the time, like flying to New York to audition for a workshop of a new musical. And so I went all the way through that process and just basically like proved to her and the rest of the people at Telsey Casting Company that like I could handle myself and I was the real deal. And so this job in Frozen opened up and I was like sitting in North Carolina and my agents gave me a call and they said like, hey, man, you know, can you be in New York in 48 hours? We got an audition for you. And I actually said no. I was like, hey, like I have my finals and I have homework. And like, no offense to Frozen at all, but like, that's going to be a $300 plane ticket round trip for me to buy in 48 hours in advance. Like, I can't make this, you know, like this is unfortunately just going to have to be a casualty of the game. Like, and that's not the end of the world. Like, that happens a lot. People have to turn down auditions for life and unexpected things. And I had already, done a few auditions in New York, one of which for Mean Girls national tour that was happening, that was being cast around the same time as this mm-hmm. is all happening. And 20 minutes later, I get another phone call from my agents that are like, hey, how do you feel about being in New York next Thursday? And I was like, no, like I told you I can't come to Frozen. They're like, no. The Thursday after the Frozen audition, 1 week from then, is going to be another Mean Girls callback. Like, for Aaron, can you come to that? And I was like, oh, yeah, like, that's enough notice for me to tell my professors and get time off and do that. Mm-hmm. And so I agreed to that audition and, like, bought the plane ticket and was like, yeah, cool. I'm going to be in New York. I'm going to go in for Mean Girls. Like, I've already seen those people. I'm more invested in this, I guess. You know, at the time, I had no idea the relative scale of job or whatever, but I was going to pursue that one just because financially it made more sense. And so Frozen had the audition on Thursday. And Friday morning, I got a call from my agent that was like, they're going to let you tape, which means like, I just like stood in front of my cell phone camera and played karaoke tracks and like sang the harmony to Love is an Open Door alone with no Anna. And then like read the scenes, you know, classic self tape. And I sent it in and they were like, great, they want to see you in New York. They know that you're coming for Mean Girls and they're going to like wait until you get here and see you for Mean Girls. Like they're going to like sing you in the morning or maybe dance in the morning, then do your Mean Girls callback in the middle and then sing at night for the artistic team. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, you know, as long as I'm not paying any extra money, like two auditions for the price of one, this is awesome. And then the next day I get a call that's like, hey, they want more time with you. They want you to come a day earlier. They understand that you're a student. Like they'll foot the bill for changing your flight. Like whatever extra it costs, change your flight to 24 hours earlier, do that. And I'm like sitting at lunch in the dining hall with my buddies and I'm like, I gotta go. And they were like, what? And I was like, I have to go home and pack a suitcase right now. Like they want me on a plane tonight. And you know, all of my friends going through the same process are staring at me with laser beams. Like, I hate you. But you know, they were happy for me and all of that good sportsmanship and stuff. And so my buddies were like, driving me home and helping me pack. And I was like, I need somebody to iron this shirt before I put it in the, you know, suitcase. And then like drive me. Also, I need someone to drive me 45 minutes to the airport. And I do that. Luckily, my sister has an apartment in New York City, my older sister. And so I like showed up at her apartment after getting off the tarmac at like midnight and then taking a cab in from like LaGuardia. And I like slept 5 hours, like maybe, and my niece ran in and woke me up at like 7 a.m. And cause she's like 2 and she's wearing Frozen pajamas. And she like on accident, my sister was like, I didn't even know that you were auditioning for Frozen. Like, no, I didn't know why you were here. I just knew you had an audition. So this cool serendipitous universe thing of my adorable niece is like wearing Frozen PJs. She's like, Uncle Jake, Uncle Jake. And she runs in and jumps on the air mattress that I'm sleeping on in the living room. And I get ready and I sing and I do the thing and I sing the scenes and I talk to them. And then they're like, we want to hear more. Can you sing us something from your book? And I sing a little snippet and I sing real high and I sing real princely and I do the thing. And then they're like, great. So we know you have Mean Girls tomorrow. You're going to dance in the morning and then do the Mean Girls thing and then just like keep in touch if we need to see anything more. And I was like, great. And so I went home. I think I like got a burger with a friend or something. And like the next day woke up and, you know, got my dancing shoes on, went down to Pearl and danced and stayed and did this big partnering call where like you had to like put a girl on your back and like spin her around and then put her down again. And like I actually like pulled my groin, like I pulled a muscle in my leg doing this. But I was like, this is Broadway, like you can't limp, like you can't sit out, like if you want this job you need to just do it. And so I'm like sitting there basically like back squatting another human being, like with like having like just like pulled my groin. And I'm like, I'm fine, and like, you know, like muscling through, you know. And thank God, like who ended up being my dance captain, Ashley Hale, is freaking awesome, and she's light as a feather, so I didn't like really injure myself too much more. But after that dance call, you know, they're wandering around and they're like, hey, like, what are you doing later? And I was like, well, I have the Mean Girls audition, like everyone's well aware of this, what are we talking about? They're like, no, after that. And I was like, oh, well, I'm
going home and take and sleep a bit.
Yeah, I was like, I actually like have a flight like home to North Carolina. I don't live here. Like, I'm a senior in college. They were like, what? Oh yeah, right. Oh my God. And I was like, yeah, so like I literally need to be in a cab on my way to LaGuardia at like 6:45 p.m. at the very latest. And so they were like, okay, cool. Well, just like keep an eye on your phone. Like, we're probably going to want to see you again. And I was like, oh, can I ask what for? They were like, oh, don't worry about it. And I was like, oh, well, like, here's the thing. Like, I understand that you might want to keep me in the dark, but like, I have to pack a suitcase and I need to know like what all I should pack and what all I should like leave available for me to wear to this audition when I go home next to my sister's apartment. Like, you know, like, am I gonna need to like re-iron my dress shirt and like come in and sing, or am I gonna need to like go quickly wash these sweaty dance clothes at a laundromat and like come back and dance again? She was like, oh no, you're gonna get measured, which means like measured for costumes. And then she quickly goes, I shouldn't have said that, and then runs in the room and shuts the door. And so like I go home and I shower and I put on a polo and jeans and I try to look, you know, like a high school kid, and I go to my Mean Girls audition all the while being like, I think I just got a job with Frozen. Like, I think that's what that means. But getting measured means that, right? You know? And I was like, you know, one of my other buddies was at this audition for a different track on the tour or whatever, but I told him what happened and he was like, Jake, you booked. And I was like, no, that's not, they're just seeing, they're just gonna see like what fits, it doesn't mean anything. And so I do the Aaron thing and I go, and then my agents are talking between Frozen and Mean Girls. They're like, look, like we need to, like somebody needs, Frozen needs a decision today. So we need to know if he's gonna be Aaron or if, you know, he can go do Frozen, or like if he's available to do Frozen, because I didn't have a contract yet. And Mean Girls didn't go my way. Not the end of the world. Went a different direction. You know, c'est la vie. That happens. And, you know, my agent calls me. He's like, look, you didn't get Aaron. It's dumb. I hate them. It's in the past. And which is like why I signed with them, because he's hilarious. And Christopher, you know, Christopher was just amazing. Like, I don't get it. I'm going to yell at them later. But right now, we got to figure out this Frozen thing. Just sit tight. And I was like sitting in a Jamba Juice on like 33rd and 7th or whatever. And I get another call. Where are you? I was like, I'm 33rd and 7th. He's like, well, okay, great. So go up 11 blocks and over 1 Avenue, ring the doorbell at the St. James Theater, ask for Lisa Dawn. She's going to take you backstage to get measured for your costumes for Frozen on Broadway. And I like lost my mind. I literally have a duffel bag in my hand, like ready to get in a cab to go to the airport if this doesn't happen or whatever. And so I run backstage, and the stage manager's like, okay, like somebody on the phone told me that you have to leave this building in like 45 minutes. And I was like, you're correct. I am a student. And I have an Italian literature final like tomorrow. And so they're like backstage in the wig room, like all hands on deck, like wrapping my head to make molds for wigs. They're like measuring every 3 inches up my arms and legs for like boots and gloves and jackets. And they put like somebody else's wig on me just to like see what it'll look like. They're like, okay, great, great, great. Now run to costumes, because they got to measure your head with a wig on so that they can measure your hats. And so I do that. And then they're like putting Ross's costumes on me, because what I did is I replaced a guy named Ross Leekheitz, who's awesome. And so they're putting Ross's costumes on me. They're like, oh my God, great. They fit. Like, we're going to have to do less work now, because like you can't come back here between now and when you start rehearsal. So we have like a month where like you're going to be finishing school before you join the show, and where like we need to be making whatever you don't fit into of Ross's for you. And we don't really have time to like measure twice or whatever. And so like I'm sitting there, and like, you know, I took a little picture of my head in this like in this wig, and I sent it to my buddies, and I was like, I'm backstage at the St. James right now. I think I'm going to be on Broadway. And you know, like I finally get in the cab, and I'm just smiling. And I smiled, I swear to God, for 8 hours until I laid down in my bed at Elon. Like I was a weird guy on the plane, like smiling at everybody for no reason. They're like, what is with this guy? He won't stop smiling. It's like, you're in a New York airport. No one is supposed to smile in a New York airport. And I was just like sitting in a cab, sitting in the, on the plane, sitting in an Uber the whole way home. I like told my Uber driver from, you know, Raleigh-Durham Airport to Elon. I was like, I'm going to be on Broadway. And she was like, cool, man. I don't care. I was like, sorry. I just needed to tell somebody. And the next day, you know, got a phone call with the official offer and everything. And I got it in between classes, which was really cool. And so some of my friends were like, have you heard anything? And I was like, oh, I don't know. And then, like, my phone rang. And I was like, well, okay. I'm going to go outside. And like my buddies were like staring out the window as I was like receiving this news, like watching me pace the sidewalk, freaking out. It was just like the most awesome story that you can imagine for like a college kid who's like dreams coming true. It was like so one in a million, so crazy universe things lining up, them, you know, being okay with me pushing back my debut in the show so that I could graduate. Like Disney was like super duper accommodating with that. My agents were basically like, hey, look, like I know you've scheduled his put in, you know, to the show to be for May 21st. They were like, hey, I know that you've scheduled his, you know, debut for the 21st. He walks in a cap and gown on the 24th. Is there any way like we can push it back 5 days so he can like fly back and walk at graduation and then come back and keep rehearsing? And they were like, oh my God, wait, no, like college, that's important. Like take the whole week. We'll just push everything back a week. And it was like done. Boom. No questions, no grumbling, no animosity. They were just like, yeah, no, like that is a life achievement milestone. Like grandma is waiting for that moment. We're not going to take seeing her grandson walk in a cap and gown away from her, like, yes, we will put a swing into the show for a week in Jake's track and then just, like, push his debut back a week, which is what ended up happening. And, you know, literally walked at graduation, packed my apartment, drove 3 hours to Richmond, repacked everything the next day, and drove 5 hours to New York City, moved into a buddy's empty room in an apartment, got a sublet with him, moved into his room, and started rehearsal the day after that. So within 48 hours of walking at graduation, I was like at Ripley Greer with, or I guess that's not entirely true. There's a rehearsal studio at the New Amsterdam Theater. So I was at the New Am with this big sign that said Disney Theatrical Group and my binder that said Frozen Ensemble / Cover Hans, Jake David Smith, like a big white binder, which I still have over there in the corner. And, you know, I was like, I was wearing a cap and gown 2 days ago. Like, this is totally surreal.
It was meant to be for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all the puzzle pieces fitting in perfectly for you.
It was awesome. You cannot ask for a better story, for better, you know, timing and everything. It was insane. Even with me getting an apartment that I was cleared to live in for a full year in like a week, I was like, hey, I need a room. And he was like, I just booked a national tour. I'm going to be gone for a year. You can have my room. I was like, no way. I was like, when's your first day of rehearsal? He was like, May 24th. I was like, me too. And so like on the same day he moved out, I moved in. He got in a car to Philadelphia to join the tour. And I got in a car, a pickup truck, my dad's pickup truck loaded to the brim with all of my crap from college. Just shoehorned it into a New York City apartment and called it a day.
That is insane. I mean, I really got happy and genuinely excited of you telling me this story.
Thanks, man. It's a fun story to tell. It's super long and involved. Like, whenever I do any interviews or anything like that, and someone's like, how did you get the job? I'm like, oh, God, buckle up. Because it's not like, you know, I was living in New York and I was auditioning. I auditioned, I did a callback, and then I was in the show. Like, you know, it's like, it's not straightforward at all. It's very convoluted and involves taping and saying no and flying and another show entirely and all this crazy stuff. But, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. My head was spinning and I luckily like didn't have time or mental energy to get nervous about the auditions because I was so preoccupied with like getting to New York and like not getting lost and like, you know, showing up to the right studio at the right time for the right show and like what room Frozen was in versus what room Mean Girls was in or whatever. I was so preoccupied with the details that I didn't understand the gravity of the situation and therefore like couldn't get super nervous. So it all helped, really.
It was the universe conspiring in your favor.
Mm, definitely.
What are the pros and cons of working in a Disney musical?
Well, I'd say the pros is definitely like veteran leadership, like all the way across the board from your head carpenter, your props master, your stage manager, you know, your set designer, your costume designer, your wardrobe team. Like working on a Disney musical means that like the best of the best people were hired to do those jobs, which means like whenever I was like a fumbling idiot backstage, like not really knowing what protocol was or not really knowing like where to stand when, like there was somebody to put a hand on my shoulder and like guide me through the situation. And it also means that like, you know, when you do a Disney musical, like a lot of the cast is also like Broadway veterans. So even though, I mean, obviously Casey Levy and Patty Murin are legends, those are, you know, the two lead women of the show, I don't necessarily interact with them a ton. I did have a lot of backstage traffic with Patty, though, so that was a really fun time where I got to, like, bond with her, and I was like, you know, oh my god, like, you're Patty Murin, and you're talking to me during my quick change right now, and, like, making fun of me, and, like, cracking jokes. And then, of course, getting to go on as Hans with the two of them, and being like, I listened to you in high school, like, on Broadway cast albums, and, like, now I'm saying lines at your face, and you're saying them back to me. But, like, obviously, that's a huge pro of, like, being, like, everybody around me is not phased and knows exactly what they're supposed to be doing. So without even, like, having to like teach me a lesson, I was learning lessons every day, like without being taught them. And then some people were directly teaching me lessons because I needed to learn them. You know, whenever I had a question about an audition for another show, like while I was in Frozen, because like while Broadway actors are in shows, they're still auditioning because like nothing is guaranteed. You don't know when the show is going to close. And obviously, like, you want to keep climbing the ladder. If you're an understudy, you know, your agents and you want you to be playing the lead role in a different show if you can. And so, you know, when I would get an audition that I was like, oh my God, like, I've never auditioned for this person before. Do you think that playing guitar would be like a good idea? Like, should I bring my guitar to the studio? My buddy Austin was like, no, like, they don't really like that vibe. I would just like sing a normal song, you know? And like, I had people in my corner who'd been in the industry a long time, like, to answer all of my dumb questions. And also, like, give me a bunch of restaurant recommendations and be like, you know, here's where the best chicken wings are. It was the bomb. Like, seriously, like, I feel like I came out of that experience with a bunch of crazy aunts and uncles because I was the youngest person in the cast, for sure, at 22 years old, by a few years. And I was actually, Jeremy doesn't like this story, Jeremy Davis, but I was closer in age to the girl playing young Anna than I was to my fellow ensemble member, Jeremy Davis. I was 22 years younger than Jeremy Davis and only 6 years older than the girl playing young Anna. So it was a very funny juxtaposition because, like, you know, the young Anna is like 14, 13, 14. And I'm 22, or I guess 8 years older, math. But, you know, Jeremy Davis is 44 and I'm 22. I'm half his age. And so, you know, there was also another actor named Jake Smith in the production. So I was Jake Jr. and he was Jake Sr. or Big Jake, Little Jake. Like, there were like all these names. I'd like call him Dad as a joke. I'd be like, Dad. And then, yeah, I mean, that's definitely like, I just got to learn from the coolest people and the people who are the best at what they do. Like Jeremy Davis, I mentioned him earlier, like a second ago, like, you know, had the Broadway Legacy robe. Like he has like, you know, a million Broadway credits and is the most professional and wonderful person to work with in the entire world. And I got to see why firsthand. I got to learn from Joe Carroll, when he was Hans and, you know, this is, you know, his third Broadway show or more. And, you know, just, you ask somebody what they think of Joe Carroll and they're like, he's the best. He's the best guy to work with. He's so kind. Like, he's so cool. He's so genuine. And I was like, well, that's how I want to be spoken of when people ask. So I, after like a couple months on the show, Hans doesn't interact with the ensemble at all. Like, there's no backstage traffic. There's no time downtime in the show where you're like sitting and you're like, so Joe, like, what's going on today? Like, you know, you just don't cross paths. It's the way the backstage traffic, you know, just worked out. And so, like, Joe and I were walking into the theater, and I was like, hey, man, I've been your understudy for, like, 3 months now, and I literally don't know anything about you. Like, do you want to get a beer this week? Like, do you just want to, like, go after the show? I want to know about you and, like, ask you some questions about Hans, because, like, one of these days I'm going to have to go on. I'd love to, like, talk your ear off for a moment. And then, like, that became, like, a cool thing that we would do sometimes. Is I'd be like, you know, hey. And we'd even like get the other Hans and understudy Anthony in on it. We'd be like, hey, Team Hans is going to have a meeting or whatever. We're going to go to the bar down the street. Like, you want to come? And like, we'd meet up because, you know, Hans doesn't get a lot of interaction with like the rest of the show. So it was cool for him to like see what the rest of us were up to. Cause like, he was like, I don't know. Like, are you guys enjoying yourselves? Like, how's the vibe backstage? So we just got, he swung one of my favorite shows of all time, Once. And so most of the time I was just bothering him with questions about Once and what it was like to like play all those instruments and do all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, the people is basically what I'm getting down to was the biggest pro of working for Disney and on Broadway in general is the family and the people and the leadership is really, really, really awesome.
How have you been keeping active during COVID? Because Frozen closed thanks to the pandemic.
Yeah. You know, I've been all over the place. I was in Florida for a little while, and then I was in my hometown in Richmond, living with the parents. I am super passionate about physical fitness. I, before moving here, was planning on becoming a personal trainer as like my day job while I was auditioning. You know, I have been exploring different areas of fitness, like functional fitness and CrossFit and yoga and like other stuff, and just like diversifying my fitness portfolio, if you will, and just, you know, keeping physically active. And then as far as like keeping artistically active, I actually like picked back up the guitar and started writing music again. And I had completely forgotten how much I love doing that and how like that absolutely feeds my soul artistically, just as much, if not more, than musical theater does sometimes. And because of my like dive in head first nature, I had almost like abandoned that part of my life in the pursuit of becoming, you know, proficient at the world of musical theater, and learning all the information that I was behind on. And so like I've written an EP, and I'm gonna record it and get it produced by some really, really cool people. So I've got awesome friends who have awesome siblings and who have recording studios, and I'm gonna try to get this team effort together and sort of like put something out there for the universe. That's been like my dad's dream for me forever. Of course, my mom's like, I just want you to be happy, son. But my dad is like, dude, you and your buddies should start a rock band. And I'm like, Dad, it's not 1975 anymore. Like, like there are other things you can do if you make music. He's like, yeah, but how cool would it be? He's like, I found this song, and your roommate Logan should sing lead on it, but like the guitar looks like you could handle it. It doesn't sound too hard. I'm like, thanks, Dad. You know, I'm like, Broadway at 22 wasn't enough. You're not going to be satisfied until I'm in a rock band. And of course I'm teasing him and he's teasing me or whatever, but he, I think genuinely he'd be way more excited. And this is nothing, like, he's such a proud dad. He wept uncontrollably at my Broadway debut. Like my dad is 6'4", 300 pounds of like mustache and gruff. I like to say he's like the real life Ron Swanson, only very liberal and blue and a hippie. But like he's like a very stern, like he talks down here and he's got a very firm handshake, and he's this like big tough guy, and he just picked me up and like engulfed me in his giant arms and just is like sobbing on stage at the St. James. It was just like, I'm so proud. And I was like, Dad, take it easy, man. Like, all my friends are here. But so like, you know, obviously like he's a very proud dad. I say all this not to embarrass him, but to prove to the internet or whoever's listening that my father is in fact, you know, supportive or whatever. I don't want anyone thinking that he's not, or him hearing that he's not from anyone on the internet. But he, like, I swear to God, like once a month we'll be like, hey man, like you should play this song with your roommates and a gig. I'm like, there's a pandemic, like where are we gonna play this song, Dave? But yeah, I mean, it's cool. Like, we collaborate all the time. Everybody in my apartment has, like I said, like four guitars. It's obnoxious. Our neighbors hate us, but we have a good time doing covers of songs and fun stuff on Instawhams and TikTok and all of the social medias and stuff. But yeah, that's how I keep active is I, you know, I play, I write, I, you know, I think I'm hilarious. So we write jokes and we write theoretical sketches, and, you know, I'm living with my three best friends in an apartment in New York City, and that is enough chaos to keep me preoccupied in itself on top of all of the music that we all create. And, you know, the guy neighboring this wall is writing a musical, and the guy neighboring that wall is an agent, and then the guy on the other side does stand-up comedy and also musical theater. And so, like, we all are always up in each other's business trying to collaborate and help, you know, tweak this joke or, like, add a new chord to this song in this musical, or why don't you change this verse around on your EP, Jake? Or, like, you know, it's a team effort here. So I'm kept very busy. It's cool.
That's awesome. When are you planning to release your EP? I mean, you just said it's unrecorded at the moment, but
yeah.
When can we expect music from you?
That's a very good question. And I also don't know the answer. Truly, like, I have never embarked on anything like this. I do not know anything about this world because I've had my head buried in the musical theater sand for 7 years. And so I can't imagine that, you know, before the world reopens, we won't have music. It's like 5 or 6 songs on an EP. I want to get going. I want to get moving. I'm, you know, hopefully going to be able to put something down in the next month and release a single, and then get working on an EP. So like I truly by the middle of March, like I want to have a single. But well, I mean, it's just going to have to see, because also like I'm working on the charity of other friends. You know, I can't like demand that everything be finished and edited by March 15th, because like, you know, they've got other lives and other jobs and stuff like that too. So, but geez, you know, your guess is as good as mine. I have no idea what I'm doing. I just know how to play guitar and sing.
Before we go, first question, where can people find you?
Cool. Yeah. I'm jake.david.smith on pretty much all platforms. I think maybe on Twitter, I'm like jakedavidsmith2, or I'm not sure. I mean, it's a fairly common name. It's not super hard to spell or find. But definitely Jake David Smith on Instagram is where like most of my attention goes. I rarely tweet anything, especially anything worth reading. And then on TikTok, I am Jake David Smith as well. So, you know, follow me. It's a crazy ride. It's fun seeing, because I take a lot of stories and videos of like people life. Doing dumb stuff in my apartment. Last night we had 5 people in my bedroom because I don't know, it's like two different people holding guitars, one sitting on the bed singing, and the other had boxing gloves on because why not, you know. And I was like sitting and I just pulled out my phone and I was like, this, the internet needs to see this. This is a good time. We get up to all kinds of wacky stuff and be fun.
And last question, a no-brainer. Your top 5 favorite musical theater shows. Go.
Okay. tied for first are West Side Story and Pippin. Then I'd have to say... Oh, this is not a no-brainer. How dare you do this to me at the very end out of nowhere? I mean, I
love the mental chaos I create every time I ask this question.
So tied for first and second, I guess, would be West Side and Pippin. I love Catch Me If You Can. I understand that that's not like widely beloved. But then American Idiot.
I know, right? It's so good. I love
American Idiot. I got to do American Idiot a few years ago. Love that show. And then let's say, is that 4?
Yeah.
5 is going to be Wicked, because if you like musical theater, then you love Wicked. And there is not an argument to be made against that statement. I will not hear it. Wicked is objectively an amazing musical.
It is
for all ages, shapes, sizes, creeds, you know, everything. Wicked is awesome. I just, you know. It's the quintessential, like, most, like, musical theater-y, like, musical, but it's just, there's a reason why it is so beloved, and it's because it's so good. It's when you get down to the bare bones of Wicked, and you analyze it, like, it's just a brilliant show, and it's always a good time, you know? No one leaves Wicked unhappy.
Well, Jake, thank you for being here. It's been amazing knowing your story, knowing your journey on Broadway. And I know that big things are coming your way, not only on Broadway, but everywhere. Thank you so much. So, so much. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this new episode of Backstage Talk. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Backstage Talk Podcast.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suf's celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suf's has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.